to make you bitter because you feel like it's not fair. It's just spiritual. It has a lot of different ways of working, as we noticed tonight. And so that causes you to rebel against God, to judge God, and to have this constant jealousy, which leads to all kinds of evil. Does this make sense? This really makes sense. Then you have the people who are the people who don't have this, who are haughty, and they look down and compare themselves to you, and then cause you, it's this vicious cycle, and God's just going to destroy all of that. And so what God wants you to see, everyone should be able to reason. And if you can't, you have a spiritual thing. This whole thing of foul spirit is dealing with depression, dealing with ADD, dealing with all these things that affect your mind, affect your mood, affect your clarity. All these things that make you feel like you're not as smart as, or you're not as good as. Now, people do have different intellect, but everyone has the mind of Christ, and everyone can make the right decisions in these things. And we have to honor, you know, just we got to see these different things in people. But what we want to do is get the devil out of the way. Because if it's spiritual, we want it out of the way. If it's just gifting-wise, then fine, God, let me enjoy who I am and enjoy what you've given me to do. But if it's not just gifting, if it's about a spirit, I want it out of the way. Because then you're going to be frustrated. You're going to always be jealous. You're always going to feel hurt. You're always going to feel like you're being rejected. And this spirit will make that happen. And let me say this. When you have this spirit, you don't make good decisions. When you have this spirit, it brings forth that fruit that causes people to judge you. And so what you have to do is want to totally get rid of these things and begin to shine for what God has for you to do and not be limited by what the enemy's lied to you about with the spirit. Okay, did you have some more?
Yes.
Okay.
Isaiah 58 and 10.
Okay, I'm going to start at 9. I love this whole thing. I'm just reading out this one because I really like this translation. Then your light shall break as the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall gather you. Then you shall call, and Jehovah will answer, and you shall cry, and he shall say, "Here I am." If you put the yoke away from among you, the sending out of the finger, the speaking of iniquity, and if you let out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom shall be as noonday. And Jehovah shall always guide you and satisfy your soul in dry places and make strong your bones. Look at all the healing verses in here. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Read your translation that had the dimness in there.
And if you spend yourselves in half of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the old age foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on your holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.
So the thing you were seeing was this was his intent, and your gloom shall be as noonday. In other words, your gloom will come off of you when you begin to look to others. And this whole thing in Isaiah is about the kind of fasting. If you go to Isaiah 58, call out with the throat, do not spare. Lift up your voice like the ram's horn. Declare to my people their rebellion and their sins to the house of Jacob. Yet they seek me day by day and desire knowledge of my ways. As a nation that has done right, not forsaken the judgment of their God. They ask me about judgment of righteousness. They desire to draw near to God. They say, why have we fasted and you did not see? Why have we afflicted our soul and you did not acknowledge? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find pleasure and you drive all your laborers hard. Well, this is scripture you gave me the other night. Look, you fast for strife and for debate. You strike with the fist of wickedness. Do not fast this day to sound your voice in the high place. Is this like the fast I will choose a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow his head down like a bulrush, and he spreads sackcloth and ashes? Will you call to this as a fast, a day of delight to Jehovah? Is this not the fast I've chosen, to open the bands of wickedness, undo thongs of their yoke, and send out the oppressed ones free, even that you pull off every yoke? Okay, the whole thing in Isaiah is about God's not interested in your works. He's not interested in you not eating and doing these things to look spiritual and to try to change God's mind or get his attention. God is saying, when you go to God, the fast that pleases him is a fast where you begin to quit doing wickedness. When you begin to see wickedness as wicked, when you begin to see yourself the way he sees you and you hate it, and when you begin to see who you are in the enemy and you hate that, renounce that, get free from that, then your light will come forth. Then you will begin to serve. Then you will begin to feed hungry people. Then you will begin to minister to people. Then your life will not be about you and how unfair God has been. But you will begin to see how awesome and righteous and fair God has been and how much you've missed it. And that will begin a true walk with God, to where you will really begin to see him answer your prayers and change your heart. And also bring you away from this depression and this depression and this gloom. And so that confusion that this foul spirit brings on you is that whole bitter thing against God. And here's why you're bitter. God made me like this. That's why you're bitter. You won't admit it, because then you'd have to say you don't like something about yourself or someone else. The truth is, you need to begin to say, God made me in his image and his likeness with awesome gifts, all the things we've been teaching. Now this foul spirit's going to bow its knee. I will not continue to walk in confusion and depression. I will not. God, show me the roots, get me free. I will not stay overweight. I will not have a disease that that makes people run from me. I will not let a foul spirit continue to cause people to reject me and make me feel like I'm not as worthy as someone else. That keeps me feeling like I can't ever succeed. I will not declare that this is from God anymore. I will not think he did something wrong and made me wrong. I will begin to declare that the enemy's going to bow his knee, and I'm going to move into all that God has for my life. And I'm going to love who I am, and I'm going to come into the fullness of what God has for me, and I'm going to be used by God for his glory and his purposes. And I'm not even going to look and envy anybody else. I want to be all that God has for me to be, exactly who I am, exactly what he's given me. And this foul spirit that's constantly caused this confusion and rejection, it's the enemy. And I'm going to go after God with all my heart, and he's going to reveal to me how to totally destroy its yoke. Okay, do you have more?
Yes. Isaiah 29 and 18.
Okay, we may not do all of them, because usually when I study something, I could spend hours just reading all the different ones, but 20, what'd you say, Isaiah?
29:18.
Okay, 29:18. And in that day, here we go, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, the eyes of the blind shall see out of their gloom and out of darkness. And the humble one shall increase joy in Jehovah, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing, and the sore scorner is ended, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Those who make a man sin by a word, even lying a trap for the reprover in the gate, and turn aside the just for a worthless thing. So Jehovah says this, he who redeemed Abraham, as to the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not be ashamed now, nor shall his face become pale now. And when he sees his children in his midst, the work of my hands, they shall sanctify my name. They shall sanctify the Holy One of Jacob. They shall fear the Lord God of Israel. Those who erred in spirit shall come to understanding. Woo! And those who murmured shall learn instruction. Woe to rebellious sons, and what goes on. This is really neat, because this is kind of a good place to go with this, because it's really getting late. What he is saying, when you get free from thinking wrong, when you get free, gosh, if you go up to it, look at 16. Go to 15. What's really neat with this, if you go up just a little bit, it says, this is so cool, because God is really telling us what he's doing with all the sanctification. Sometimes you wonder, why would he come week after week and here? Because this is the time. This is that last day. This is the day he's talking about, and we're actually forerunners of tasting it. That is so cool. And he says, look at 13, and the Lord says, because this people draws near with his mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me, they fear me is taught by the commandments of men. So behold, I'm adding to do wonderfully with this people the wonder, even a wonder. For the wisdom of his wise ones shall perish, and the wit of his witty ones shall be hidden. Woe to those who go deep to hide their purpose from Jehovah. Yea, their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us and who knows us? O you perversion, shall the former be counted as the clay? For shall the work of its maker say, he did not make me? Or shall the... Gosh, this is exactly what we're talking about. Or shall the thing formed say to him who formed it, he does not understand? Do you see what God is saying here? It's a perverted generation where they think that God has messed up, that God doesn't understand. Exactly all the stuff we've been saying. What really causes bitterness is this lie that you think that God messed up and didn't create you right. And you're the, and what he's saying is, wait a minute, you are the clay. He's the potter. It's not saying, we hear this taught as if you ought to just be settled with that. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you are a perverted, messed up generation and a perverted, messed up people because you think that I did these horrible things to you and I didn't. And because you think that I did something wrong and I haven't. And because of that, you're perverted. And he says, it is not yet a little while and it shall be turned to a fruitful field. And this fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. And that's what he's saying. This is going to happen. This is how they're going to see me. But there's going to come a day when these same people are going to become fruitful. When all of a sudden they're going to get the revelation of how wrong they've been. And they're going to allow me to do this work in them. He goes, and in that day the deaf shall hear. In the day when you start to see fruit in your life. In that day when you quit blaming God, quit blaming everyone else, and get rid of bitterness. In that day you shall become fruitful. And in that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book. The eyes of the blind shall see out of their gloom and obscurity and out of darkness. And the humble ones shall increase joy in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing. The scorner is ended, and all the watch for iniquity are cut off. Those who judge you, those who scorn you, God's going to move in and deal with all that. Those who make a man sin by a word, even lying trap for him. Anyway, and look in 23 how much it says. If 22 talks about how ashamed they've been. But in 23 it says, but when he sees his children in his midst, the work of his hands, they shall sanctify my name, says the Lord. They shall sanctify the Holy One. They shall fear the Lord God. Those who erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and those who murmured shall learn instruction. He says, in that day, that's what day we're in. This is what we're doing. Isn't that exciting? We're in there. This is exactly what we're doing. We are. What have we been doing all these this last year or two? Sanctifying, being sanctified in the name of the Lord, seeing things his way, getting rid of bitterness, getting rid of blaming the Creator, and seeing the perversion that the enemy's done. This is us. This is so cool. He says, and you're going to see how you erred in your spirit. You're going to see how you missed it in your thinking and how you missed it in your spirit, man. And then you're going to get understanding. And then there's going to be fruitfulness. Okay, I'd like to end on that one. Because I think we've really covered it. Unless there's a great, great one you've got to do.
Well, it's just Proverbs 20.
All right, let me try that one. Proverbs 20:20. This is great you guys doing this. Because, see, when it's your own issue, it means a lot more when you find it. I mean, I love taking anything God gives me and taking it further. But it's really exciting when he gives it to you. Because you get, isn't it, wasn't it exciting when you got it first?
Yes. When I heard God's voice, it was wonderful.
Okay, Proverbs, where is that?
Proverbs 20:20.
And see, that didn't happen to you for a long time.
No, it didn't.
But as you've been getting freer and freer, God's now breaking through that wall and speaking to you so that you can start ministering to people and you can tell you're a teacher. 20:20?
Yes.
Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in deep darkness. Wow. Do you see how much stuff is in here, guys? You can hardly open a page and not see how Satan has bound people. It's almost like there's a greater revelation right now. It's easier to see this stuff. I don't know how to say it. It's like some veil's been lifted off of a lot of people. Some of you, we're going to get it in a minute. And inheritance may be gotten quickly in the beginning, but then it shall not be blessed. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait on Jehovah and he will save you. Look at 27. The spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts of the heart. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upheld by mercy. The glory of young men is their vigor, and the honor of old men is the gray head. The stripes of a wound cleanse away evil and strokes the inward parts of the heart. All right, let's go. Let's just stop with what we had with this, and let's pray these because it's really getting late. If you've ever called anyone fool, stupid, or dumb, and you now see that you really don't want to do that, you want that cursing out of your mouth. You want to break the power of that curse. And you also want to break the power of anyone who's cursed that on you. I just want you to pray this with me, because the Bible says the power comes from speaking it out of your own mouth. So, Lord Jesus, forgive me for allowing the enemy to use my mouth to speak a curse. Lord, a curse that's so serious that it could cause us to go to hell. Forgive me for releasing a foul spirit through speaking that someone is foolish, a fool, an idiot, stupid, dumb, any of those descriptions that declares judgment on their thinking and reasoning.